And yeah, you can take off your shoes tonight. That's fine. Yes, that is the title of my service. But if we were traveling back from teen camp, that would be a complete off-limit thing to do, because we had that happen a couple times in the vehicle on the way back from camp. And boy, that can really be a foul odor. And yeah, it's not a pleasant experience, that's for sure. But I would like for this evening to be a pleasant experience for you. Thank you all for coming. Thank you for live streaming. What a pleasant day it's been today. I am really just thankful that the weather is just so beautiful. And Leisha and I, we sat out back for quite a while, and I just kind of reviewed, added notes to my sermon tonight, but just in contemplation of some of the thoughts that the Lord has put upon my heart as of lately. And I just wanted to share those things with you tonight. I got a few slides, but really where this sermon came from was the leading up to and our reunion and everything that went along with it. As you can imagine, there's a lot that goes on in preparation for things like that. And I would like to extend my thank you, my sincerest thank you to all those that contributed to make our reunion what it was. There was a lot of work involved. I really appreciated the program. That was awesome. I really enjoy those types of things. It's very enjoyable. There's people that came from faraway places and got to meet new people that I never met before. I was actually able to transport people from the airport to here. As you can imagine, there's all the scheduling that goes with it, the carpets that were being cleaned, the rentals that we had to do, the food, just all the little things that go with putting an event like that together, a reunion. And in hindsight, it is it's definitely one of those things that as you go and you prepare for it, there's anxiety. I had some mornings when I woke up, and you know, there's additional stresses that go with that. And I'm just really thankful that it all came together and people enjoyed it, those guests that we had here in for our congregation, you guys to enjoy it as well. I really did appreciate the time that we had. And I was thinking about that, and one of the things, actually, Alicia has always been an inspiration in my life. Look at that. I get brownie points for that one, I hope. But was actually an inspiration to this sermon, because one of the things that Alicia wanted to make sure of was that preparations were completed and in place so people can spend as much time in the service itself and not be distracted by those things that kind of happen in the background a lot of times. And so we were trying to get the food and everything all ready and get as much as that done as possible and ready to go for Friday night and for our day that we had Sunday. And it was kind of funny because one of the things that we did, everybody knows, was the pulled pork. And we were sitting around Saturday night, and Alicia just out of the blue, oh my goodness, we forgot the buns. And so, you know, we needed to get to Costco, but it was closed, and then it's not going to open until, 10 o'clock on Sunday. And so we had ourselves in a little bit of a pickle. And, you know, I'm pretty frugal when it comes to money, so she recommended that we go to Fry's that night. But I was like, I am not paying that kind of money for the amount of buns that we need. You know, no buns are worth that much. And so So we had to rush out and go to Costco and get the buns and come back. So that was unfortunate. But really just the mindset of where we're at in our hearts when we come. And one of the things I wanted to talk about tonight and what scriptures came to mind with that, and I'm going to share it with you, is it's five short verses out of Luke chapter 10, verses 38 through 42. And so I just wanted to talk about this tonight. I don't think the sermon's going to be very long, but then again, you know who I am and how that can turn out. So we'll see where we go here. But You know, I was thinking about that my heart was drawn to these verses, this time when Mary and Martha had Jesus come into their house, and they were making preparation. Martha was making preparations. So let's go ahead and read this real quick. And I just kind of was thinking about this and what we do and who we are, and a lot of times how caught up in those daily activities we get, and how we really focus on the temporal things in our lives, because it just seems like, you know, it's one thing after another after another. A lot of times at work, one of the things that I say is that, okay, as soon as you get to pop your head above the water and take a breath, the big boss's foot comes down and just shoves it down, like just right back under the water, and you got to fight to get it back up. So there's always something to do. And I think that's where we as God's children are relevant, because and we're opportunists, because we have that ability, despite the world's busyness, to take that time that is truly important, that we truly need, and apply it to that which is good, which is God, in serving Him. And so just we'll read these verses here, and then I'm going to talk a little bit about it. And it says in verse 38, "Now it came to pass, as they went, Jesus, entered into a certain village." That village was Bethany, which Bethany is right by Jerusalem. So you have the Dead Sea on the northwest end of the Dead Sea is Jerusalem, and Bethany is going to be right by Jerusalem. So Jesus went into that certain village of Bethany, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving, and came to him and said, "Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me." And Jesus answered and said unto her, "Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but the one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her." And just to kind of establish this, Christ had a really good relationship with Mary and Martha and Lazarus, their brother. He raised them from the dead. And in John 11:5, it states there that now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So he had this really good relationship with them. And I'm sure that they spent much time with each other. And I know that, and I believe that Martha, Mary, Lazarus all knew the importance of Jesus and who he was and what he represented and what his objective was in this life. And so, you know, Martha was wanting to put everything out there, make this a special time to be able to receive Jesus into her house. And I'm sure his disciples were with him, and it was kind of like a big event, kind of like a reunion in a way, is the way I looked at it. And I personally, so we got two different types of personalities here. We got Mary. I looked at her as if she was an intellectual, like, you know, who cares about all the food and all that? I'm going to sit down and I'm going to visit with the Lord, and I want to be able to receive his counsel, talk, ask him questions, all those good things that you would do in a situation like this. And I look at Martha kind of like myself, to a fault at a point, that is the doer. Like, I was just getting laughed at. I think it was this week while I telecommute from home one day, and I talk on the phone, both my daughter and my wife. I call her mom a lot. So I fall into that childlike mindset and just call her mom, because, yeah, I get scolded a lot. Not scolded, but I get. Okay, so we'll move on. Yeah, you can. So you could take the shovel. Thank you, dear. And I lost my brownie point. Dang it. Now I got to earn that back. But my beautiful wife, Alicia, you know, they're laughing at me because I'm that type of person that is always doing something, multiple things. And even when I'm on the phone discussing business with work, catching up, making sure everything's going smooth, I'm pacing back and forth in the house. You know, I just can't sit still. And there's always something that I'm trying to do. And Alicia's trying to convince me, hey, just relax, you know, focus on what you're doing. And I relate to Martha like that, with that kind of wound up personality and wanting to make sure everything is precise and exact. But, you know, bless her heart, she's a woman that does know who Jesus is, has this wonderful relationship with him, but is distracted from trying to present something that Jesus actually didn't need. And was telling her that, hey, you know, choose of the good thing. And, you know, while I'm here, we'll talk about it a little bit more, but while I'm here, you know, visit with me. And I think that's important in our lives, that we take that time and we visit with God and his son and talk about things that are important in our hearts, that we truly stress over, that we have anxiety about, that we need to figure out, that we need direction on. And that clarity of thought comes with that. It helps us be able to put ourselves at ease, to have discernment and to understand what the Lord's way is and how to be that childlike person, that individual that Christ wants us to be. But we have to take the time to do that. But Martha, going back to her, we're going to kind of go through this a little bit. You know, it says here that she was cumbered about. And so, you know, I wanted to just share the definition of that. There's the verb to rest, concern, to trouble, to grieve, to load, to crowd. You got too much going on. And then there's the noun definition of that: hindrance, obstruction, burdensomeness, almost to an embarrassment, I would believe, and disturbance, and distress. And, you know, this is something that we, as true believers, we could get caught up with those things in our lives that take us away from what we really need to focus on. And it's interesting, because as we read that verse 40, but Martha was cumbered about much serving and came to Christ and said, Lord, does thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bitter therefore that she should help me. And there's like an undertone to that. And I was thinking about that. And I think about, for those that don't have kids, we have four, and we get to enjoy the pleasure of sibling rivalry just about every single day. And so especially when it comes time after dinner to do the cleanup, it's interesting how the dynamics of that work out. You know, some will be gung-ho right in there, and the first one in there gets the lightest load, so to speak. You know, they get to take the easy job, the easiest task, and some of them just instantly disappear. You're like, hey, you know, hang on a second. We all need to take part in this. And if that person's not there, usually it's my wonderful wife or myself that say, hey, what about this person? You know, I'm not going to mention any names, but, you know, we need to all do our fair share here. And, you know, it's a human nature for us to be able to draw other people in to take part of the burden. And especially when you could feel that you were unjustly put in that place, despite the fact that, you know, everybody's partaking of the same thing. So I understand this sibling rivalry. For those that have younger ones, be prepared. This is probably a wonderful experience that you'll get to share within your family as the kids get older and start to have sibling rivalries. But, you know, it's interesting here that this was actually brought to the attention of Christ. And I get Martha, and I get where she's coming from. Hey, what about Mary? And it's because Martha just had her heart focused on trying to make everything exact and perfect and wanted everything to be good in this gathering that they had. And I understand that, again, and I can relate to that. I had the opportunity with Logan, wherever he's at, this week on just being, having an obsessive compulsive disorder, because that's what my son told me. You got OCD, Dad. And I was like, we were out front and we were mowing the grass. Well, I was weed eating and he wanted to help. And I said, okay, well, if you're going to help, this is how you're going to do it. I got this perimeter here. I do the perimeter first. You got to make sure that front left wheel misses every sprinkler so I don't have to miss the sprinkler. And then you go one row in off of that first row. Then after that, you got to make sure you overlap each row when you're going from east to west by like 2 inches. And make sure when you get around the two trees, the orange and the tangelo tree, you do a real nice tight circle. And he's just looking at me like, you're crazy, old man. Just let me mow the grass. And when it comes down to it, you know, we all have our way about going and doing things. We all prioritize what's truly important in our lives. And I think about that, and I think about, you know, how Martha was trying, but it was to a fault. And I'm thankful for these few verses because, you know, when she was trying to do something good, the Lord actually reproved her. You know, he was saying, hey, you know, this is a time when you're trying to do too much. I look at Christ and how simplistic he is in things that he does, and he didn't need extravagant food or decorations, or he didn't need overly pampered when he was there. He was just there to visit and to share time, which his time with people on earth was limited. And so he was just there to share time with those that he loved. And I think about that and how little time we actually have, but the importance of the time that we have here to develop our relationship with God for the time that is to come. And, you know, it's okay that Martha received edification from the Lord, that he was telling her, hey, you know, this is not what you should be doing. And you can, you know, they, as I was studying this, Matthew Henry was saying, because he repeated her name, that was just showing the love that he had for her. And hey, what you really need to do is listen. And he was chastening her in a way to really get her back on track to what's important, to choose the good thing. And I got a couple verses here. Hebrews 12:6. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son who he receiveth. And in 12:7, if ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? And in Revelation 3:19, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous therefore and repent. And so, you know, this is something that we need to do, is that we need to take a knee, we need to repent. We have that opportunity to be able to come before the Lord and to sit at his feet, take the load off. Don't worry about the things in the world that are making our mind go 100 miles an hour and distracting us from those opportunities that God gives us to spend time with him and to serve him and to worship him. And so, you know, that requires us to submit ourselves to Christ. You know, that's one of the things that God calls us to do. And so that submission to Christ, and Mary did it, she sat at his feet. That was a signal to him that she was ready to receive his word. She was in the moment. She was there, ready to take in what he was going to give. And she was ready to receive his word, ready to receive his guidance, and gave up her worldly needs for Christ, and was being a good example with that, because as he came in, she was there focused on him. And so she chose the good part and demonstrated her devotion to Christ. And, you know, all those things that we think about that are important, really, truly, Adam talked about it this morning, that it's really not those things that are important. All those things that we carry as burdens in this world, you know, what's really important is Christ, God, our relationship with Him, the time that we give Him. And I've learned and I've seen how those burdens of the world become lighter and lighter. It helps us be able to prioritize what's really important. If Christ was here, you know, we would be focused on Him 100%. We wouldn't be thinking about those things in the world. We wouldn't be distracted from those things that cause us to wake up in the morning sweating and trying to figure out how we're going to deal with difficult business for the day. There's this opportunity that we have to be able to show honor to God, show reverence to Him, and give Him that ability to see His children and the importance that we have on Him, and bringing our hearts to Him and allowing Him to abode with us, to abide with us in this house. And so that's one of the things I was thinking about with this, is that you know, this house that God gives us, you know, are we making preparations for Him and ready to receive Him and spend time with Him inside of us? Or are we trying to prepare things just for display, just for the sake of doing it to make ourselves feel good? But I know that when we submit ourselves to God, that it's pleasing to Him. We don't have a big fancy church and all these fancy things that go with it. I'm sure many of us here would probably like a little coffee thing, bar in the back or something like that, like some of the big churches, but that's not what's important to us. What's important is coming here and placing ourselves at the feet of God. And I know that that's a way that we show reverence and honor Him, and it's a way that for us to be able to receive His word and to apply it in our life. And so that's important, that when Jesus says in verse 42, "But the one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen the good part, which shall not be taken away from her." And attending to the word of God is the one thing that we need. That is huge for us in our spiritual walk, and helping us be able to decipher what is good. God gives us His Spirit to be able to do that. And I think about those things, and I think about Martha and Mary. I was thinking about this, and it reminded me of how, even to this day, I could be at Walmart or whatever grocery store I am, and you know, I'm always looking for the best of whatever is in front of me. And this dates back to childhood, and I believe all of us can relate to this. Every human in civilization can probably think back of some days in their life, I still do it to today, of when we were kids, and if there was a birthday party or if grandma baked a fresh pie, you know, and puts it out and slices it up, you're looking for that best slice of cake or slice of pie out of that whole thing. You know, you got your eye on it. I've been in here in the lunchroom, and you know, you see a birthday cake that's brought, and you know, I want that piece, you know, because that one has the bright red flour on it that's made out of sugar. I want that one. And some people like the corner piece. Some people like the piece with no frosting. But all of us have that that desire to choose the best of whatever it is we come in contact with. A lot of times when we go to Costco, when I used to eat the slices of pizza out of the at the cafeteria there, you're just looking at all the different slices, and you're like, man, I hope they give me that slice right there, because that's the best slice out of that whole pizza. I want, and then you get the tiny little skinny one, you're like, oh man, I wanted that slice. And same thing, I remember growing up, I have a brother, and every not every weekend. A lot of the weekends we spend the night at my grandma's house. Friday night was pizza night. So you had the whole thing. You're watching the pizzas come out of the oven and figuring out which slices were the best. And then after pizza, we would have ice cream. And grandma always dished up 3 scoops. You know, my grandma and grandpa, they were raised during the Depression and had difficult times. And so grandma, it was never more, never less, 3 scoops with the one old-fashioned metal scooper. But still, you were calculating just the little tiny extra bit in that bowl, which bowl of ice cream had the most ice cream, and you would try to get that bowl. And like I said, even to this day, it's kind of funny because even when I go to Walmart today and I buy my oil, my filter for the vehicles there, I will look at those oil filters and I will open them up to make sure there's not a dent. And I will never take the one from the front. I always go to the back where I think nobody touched it, and I will get the best oil filter for the car, which they're all identical. It's that mentality that I have in my heart to be able to always look for the good thing. And in life, you know, choosing the good part when it comes to our spiritual walk is choosing those things that God put in front of us, always making the right choice and choosing what Christ gives us, what God gives us. And his son was that gift. That's what we choose. And so there's many good things that come with that. And so we got to make sure that to help us out, be able to choose the good thing. You know, we attend to the word of God. We stay in his presence. We're trying to be in his presence, not just here, but wherever we are. You know, allow God to be in your heart. Allow his spirit to work with you. But that takes time. We have to allow time for that. And we need to observe those things that God gives us to observe and obey those things that he gives us to obey. It's important that we do that. And that we share that we pass that on, that we're an example of that, just like Christ was. And that takes devotion, you know. There's a lifelong lesson in life, and that is, just like our brother said this morning, that, you know, it's the narrow way. And the narrow way, I found out the new definition of it for me today, and you know, it's just not a skinny little path that we walk down, but it's going through the trials, the tribulations, the difficulties of life. And that's the narrow way. And I thought about that. And there's so many life lessons that as a father that I try to pass on and, you know, try to make the things of life not seem so extreme. Because, you know, if we were to make everything in life be the end of the world, then life would just be impossible. It would be so difficult. I would have to seek counseling every day. But, you know, as soon as you accomplish something, there's always something new there to fill its void. And I look at that now with a different take on life, a different perspective, and that even though it's a new difficulty, it's a new lesson. It's a new opportunity to show gratitude to God for helping me understand how to go about doing things and tending to his business and my business in this temporal world. And so that's part of our obligation to God for what he has given us when we choose to serve, is choosing the good portion, following after what Christ did and how he was the teacher, the example of that. And I really appreciated, it's Lehi right before he was about to die, and since 2 Nephi chapter 2. And I just wanted to read a few verses out of there. First off, basically he's got his sons there and he's kind of spilling his heart to his sons and just explaining to them like all these things that you're going to go through, all these choices that you're going to have. But the most important thing is to serve God and to give your heart to God. It says in 119 and 120, It says, "Wherefore men are free according to the flesh, and all things are given them which are expedient unto man. And they are free to choose liberty and eternal life through the great mediator of all men, or choose captivity and death according to the captivity and power of the devil. I have spoken these few words unto you all, my sons, in the last days of my probation." And he says here in verse 127, I'm sorry, that was, I jumped down to 126 after 119 and 120. And in verse 126 and one that I just read, and in 127, Lehi says, "And I have chosen the good part according to the words of the prophet." And I just appreciated that so much, because I never realized, you know, like, the importance of that, choosing the good part, which Christ is teaching Martha. And it's interesting, because I think about all the spread that Martha was putting out for Christ, and all the good things that she was doing, all that's going to go away. And one of the things that she had is Christ there for a limited time. And it's important for us to understand that, you know, all these things that we have in life are going to be taken away. The one thing that nobody can take away from us is Christ in our lives. He's part of us. He's in our hearts. Nothing can separate us from the love of Christ. And these are the choices that we have opportunities to make, to be influenced by the Spirit, to allow it to let us be able to see the goodness that comes with sometimes making difficult decisions. Sometimes decisions are very difficult to make. But if we choose to make the good decision and follow after Christ, then all those other things will be taken away. All the struggles, all the difficulties. And we can glorify God in doing that. And so I think that there's an influence from the Spirit. There's an influence that we should be giving to each other of following after God and doing those things that God calls us to do, to be in His presence, attend to His Word, give Him time, obey Him, and be devoted. And that's the key, is being devoted and making sure we have the mindset to choose the good thing, the good portion of which God gives us. I wanted to read in 1 John chapter 2, 15 through 17. It says, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away in the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever." And so, you know, we're going to build friendships. We're going to build relationships. There's going to be contentions that we have within our friendships and with our relationships. But I've grown to know that a lot of our worldly cares can cause us to have those struggles, strifes, contentions in our lives. And, you know, it's a hindrance to our spiritual walk. That's the heaviness of the burdens that we can place upon ourselves. And, you know, we read about how that man can entangle himself into the cares of the world, but if we allow God to guide us and direct us and lead our hearts, then we can prioritize those things that are truly important. And it's not going to cause division. It's not going to cause hurt. It's not going to cause strife. But, you know, these type of things, worldly things that we get caught up in, you know, it can be very disruptive to our relationships, our friendships, you know, the work that we're trying to do for the Lord. You know, these are difficult things that we have to deal with and have to reflect upon when we're making choices in life. And I thought about, you know, Martha and, you know, after she was chastised by Christ, Jesus, and sitting there, and as time went on, We know that Christ was crucified. I wonder sometimes if Martha was like, dang, you know, he was right. He was right. I should have just said, forget all this, because now he's gone to the Father and I could have had that much more time with him. You know, is there regrets that we have when we see that there's opportunities to serve that we neglected to take the time that's necessary to do those things, to prepare for the work that the Lord has for us to do? And, you know, everybody here knows how much I love to mountain bike, and I feel really bad, but at the same time, I was talking to Jose, and I was like, hey, I can't go. This was before the reunion. I got a lot going on, and I was thinking about this, and I just really, this is the time of year to get out there and to do some pedaling, and I was like, wow, you know, I was really thinking, is the Lord trying my reins right now? Is he watching what I do when there's a lot to do, and is seeing and to see and watch and understand what the priorities are that are on my heart? And so I'm not by any means, I'll be able to ride that bike. The bike's there. I just washed it yesterday, and boy, I love my bike. And when the Lord gives me time to do that and enjoy that, boy, I'm going to do it and enjoy it. But that's some of the things I really felt heavy on my heart, is that, you know, there's a lot to do and I need to do this work for the Lord. So those things that are worldly, that even though I really think I can make up 100 excuses why I should go ride my bike, even though I had all those things turning in my head, I wanted to make sure that I was putting the Lord first. And I'm thankful for that, because it's almost like, man, sometimes I think that bike's like a temptation to me sometimes. It's just crazy. But it's just something that if we really, really love something in the world, don't put that before the responsibilities that we have towards God. And I believe that God will bless us in that and give us time. And there's opportunities, always opportunities to be able to see the goodness when we choose serving the Lord, and to be strengthened by that. And I appreciated that life lesson that I saw from outside of the box. I just wanted to really, I asked the Lord, help me be able to see and understand, you know, some of these things that I really care about doing, why I should do this. And he showed it to me. It's because it's a service to him. It's a service to his children, and I truly appreciate that. And it's prioritizing what's really important in our lives. I thought about that, and Matthew, Luke, and 3 Nephi talk about no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. And so, you know, that's the scriptures that came to my heart, is I got to put Christ and God first in my life. That's choosing the good part. And so it's important that, you know, when we had a reunion, we all came, just like in Psalms 95, it says, oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. Today, if you will hear his voice. So I know that God is reaching out to all of us, and are we willing to listen? And I think about those things, and we came here and we worshiped and we sang, and it was just very enjoyable. I really want to thank those that put a lot of time and effort into serving God, and it's important. And I listened to the testimonies and had an opportunity to kneel and pray at the same time. And it's just, it's a good feeling. It's a good feeling of peace and of comfort to come into the house and to really dedicate our time to the Lord. And I thought about Mary and sitting before the Lord, and we kneel and we pray. And, you know, this opportunity to do these things, kneeling before the Lord, it's a just like Mary, when she sat before the Lord, before Jesus, that was showing submission. But it also shows humility when we kneel before the Lord, and it also shows reverence to Him as well. And I think that we all came willing to do that, to be submissive to God. And I truly appreciated the testimonies and the scriptures and the words that those that preach gave to us. And I thought about, like, see, I take that, I have that long sigh. And when everything came together, it was a wonderful thing for me. It was a wonderful experience. And it was just like, all the burden, everything just kind of like flowed out. And I was able to sit and just take it in. I was able to kneel and I was able to pray, to be with the congregation and to share those things that were on our hearts together with the Lord. And so some of these things also, when we kneel, it's interesting because I read some things on when we kneel, and it's an opportunity to be able to rest our weight and to support our body. Our knees are built to carry the load. And so when we kneel down, we're actually taking the load off. And it's a way that we submit ourselves to God. And when we kneel, there's actually muscles in our lower back, in our upper back, that relax. Adam talked about our heart today, and our heart rate slows down when we kneel. Our blood pressure comes down. There's a calming effect to that. And I don't know if that's how God designed us, but some of the things, like I said this morning, with the things that happen on a microscopic level in our body, which was designed by God, are very interesting of how we can do certain things, such as kneel, and these things change within us. I don't know if God designed it like that, but boy, it sure is interesting, and maybe one day we'll find out. But, you know, like I just had that long sigh, all these things that when we come to God and we kneel before Him, if we really, truly have our heart in place and we're ready to receive Him, these are the things that God just relieves us of. And He says that in Matthew chapter 11, 29 and 30. We've heard it a million times. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. I'm thankful for that even though, like, a lot of times I look at a yoke on the ox and, boy, that looks uncomfortable. Yeah, it might be at first, and you might feel awkward and out of place, and you might not be able to get along well with it. But once you have that yoke on you and you see how it works and you find out what it's about and what it does and how your body works with it, how you become in tune with it, and it actually makes your burden lighter. Psalm 73, 23 through 26 says, "Nevertheless, I am continually with thee. Thou hast holden me by my right hand. Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterward receive me to glory, whom have I in heaven but thee, and there is none upon earth that I desire beside thee. My flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever." So Christ is the good part. This is essential for our soul. This is essential for our spiritual walk. And, you know, it's like having that pie in front of you and picking the best piece. If you have Christ there in your heart, you're going to find the best piece every single time. And the narrow path, yeah, it's going to be difficult. It's going to be challenging, but God's going to help us be able to overcome. And it says in Hebrews 3:14, "For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast and unto the end." And that's the key is, the ebbs and flows of life and understanding that there's always distractions and temptations that are going to be put before us to get us to try to no longer choose Christ in our lives. But if we hold steadfast and continue and be confident in it, it's important that you're emboldened by the Word of God. That's the way that I see how it gives us reassurance of that which is good. It helps me be able to be confident and to be strong in standing up for what is right. And so that's what my hope is that we have this desire to be in the presence of God, to prioritize those things in our life that are important, that we have to deal with, but to put God above all those things and to serve Him. That's my desire, my hope for wherever you're at in your life and in its journey. If you do that, God will bless you every step of the way and teach you things. You'll grow, you'll understand, and you'll see the love of God that's given to you and that you could give to others. So I have here, choose the good part. Choose to understand that if we put God first, that there's nothing but a beautiful life that comes with that. So thank you for your time. God bless, and thank you.